will brought forward for us. And then Brady and Amanda, or Brady and Annie, if you want to come up and be ready to read scripture, that'd be great. Dance with the Spirit early in the morn. Walk, thank you. Or can hope for a new life aborn, and listen to the Spirit to show you the way. Dance with the Spirit early in the morn. Walk with the Spirit throughout the long day. Work and hope for a new life aborn. Listen to the Spirit to show you the way.
Look, everyone, God has made a home right here with us. God is going to live here, right here with all his people. God will be here with us. God will wipe the tears away from our eyes when we are sad. Tears will be gone, crying will be gone, pain will be gone. God will make everything new.
A friend of Jesus, a man named Lazarus, was very ill. His sisters, Mary and Martha, were also very good friends of Jesus. They all lived in the town of Bethany, near to Jerusalem. Mary and Martha sent a message to Jesus. They wanted Jesus to know that Lazarus was sick. Jesus received the message, but he didn't leave right away to go to Lazarus. By the time he got all his friends home in Bethany, Lazarus had already died. Many people had gathered to care for Mary and Martha as they grieved their brother's death. When Jesus came near to Bethany, the word quickly was sent to Mary and Martha that Jesus was coming. Martha ran out to meet Jesus as soon as she saw him coming down the path. Martha burst into tears and said, "Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Then Martha ran to where Mary was sitting and crying. She told Mary that Jesus was almost at their house. So Mary got up and went with Martha to greet Jesus. Mary fell down at Jesus' feet and cried some more. Mary said, "Jesus, if you had been here, you could have helped my brother." All the friends who had gathered cried together for their friend Lazarus. Jesus felt their hurt and pain. He said, "Take me to see the body." And as soon as he saw the body of his friend Lazarus, Jesus began to cry as well.
Jesus began to cry as well. Just hold that in your head. Last week I asked the question, why are we church? Why do we come here? And I shared my thoughts, and I think the week before you shared some of your thoughts about that. But the neat thing was after church, I had two people come and share what it was that they connect with about coming to church. So one person told me that it was the people, just like when they come in the door and they see faces that they know and make those connections, that's such an important part. It's just sort of checking in with people and being there for each other, and the smiles on the faces when you know when someone greets you and says hello and knows your name. So that was one of them. But the other one, someone came up and said, "I come to church because you make me cry." So that's an interesting thing to think about. So David and I have been doing a bit of thinking about that, but I want to come over here, and I'm going to start here, but I'm going to come elsewhere here. So can you help me over in here, some of the kids and adults? Why do we cry? Brady and Lucas, why do we cry? Yeah, something bad happened. Why else might we cry? That's one of the reasons. Kennedy, can you think of why? Yeah, something not nice. Yeah, not fair. Something not fair happened. Okay, others here? Because the opposite, because you're really happy. Yeah, you can have tears of happiness. Other reasons we cry? Memories, we're touched, Yeah, something just really got right to our heart. It didn't have to necessarily be something bad, but it just right there. Relief, Maya? Your eyes are dry, so sometimes you need to. So that's an important, but that's important because that's going to lead us to something, isn't it, David? Mm-hmm. That there's something goes on. Our tears have a reason. Anything else that people would like to? Okay, so why do we cry? And why do we come to church to cry? And that's where both of those scriptures were about. One was about Jesus crying. And one was about God being there. This is the Revelations one that Brady read. It's one of my favorite passages. God being there to wipe the tears from our eyes. And there's been other people who I remember have said to both of us, every time I come to church, I cry. Or every time I come and see you, you make me cry.
And I go, good. It's good.
So what do our tears do for us, David?
Well, it's very, very interesting. The first thing, though, I just want to acknowledge that as human beings, we have emotions. Do you agree with me? We have them. So if you agree with me, then the invitation is simply to come alongside and be okay with that. So our tears are meant to be an emotional response. Whether that's something that's come up in front of us that we can't change, a futility, something that we cannot do anything about, then we have our tears. We just do. We have tears because of sadness or joy, as Erica was saying, the happiness. So the interesting thing, one, is that I invite all of us to recognize that tears are part of who we are. And when we are here together and in this space, it is safe. It is safe to cry. Very important to know that. So that's why I say, that's good. If you cry, it's good, because we need to and it's important. So what happens? The interesting thing about tears, and this is very, very unique, is that when we cry, tears of futility or sadness, they actually heal us. They are a way of our body releasing toxins, the kinds of things that get in the way of healthy living. So when we cry out all that's not good for us, and we let it go, and our body is actually recovering the resilience and our capacity to adapt when we cry.
So it's sort of like that when you know, it's hard to cry. I think some of us find it really hard to cry, and it just, but then if you had a good cry, there's sort of like that, you know? And they did a study once. They took human tears and dried them up so they only had the contents left, and the toxins in there were poisonous to rats. Like if they, yeah, they would make rats very sick if they gave what was left of human tears. So those tears are clearing out our bodies. I mean, Maya, that's what you're saying about, you know, and if our eyes are dry, we cry. Like those tears have a purpose. God gave them to us for a purpose. And yet I think some of us don't have a good relationship with tears. And, you know.
She's looking at me. So I'm just going to name that.
Well, I thought maybe you were going to talk about.
Well, I can. Everybody knows I can. But I think I'll be honest. For me to have my tears, I need to feel exceptionally safe. And that's partly because it wasn't safe for me growing up to have my tears. For a number of reasons. Family wasn't really safe for me. It wasn't. There was a time when you don't cry, right? That's a social convention that many of us in this room have grown up with. So that gets in the way. It blocks what it is that we need to do. So tears, if we find our safe place, we find the person that we can lean into, the context that that invites our safe expression will help us find our tears and release them in the way that works for us. And we know that that is a unique thing for each of us here today.
And specifically hard for men and boys, I think, in our culture.
So I want to say something just briefly about that. What we know is that boys are exceptionally, most often, very sensitive. More sensitive than we think. And it's really important to remember that, that that is just part of what it means to be a male person. We've somehow got the message that over the years, especially since the 19th century, maybe late 18th century, that tears really are only reserved for the feminine, for the women. In fact, in the Industrial Revolution, tears are really purged away from men because it was believed, and this is the Industrial Revolution, so if you're on the line and you're working for Mr. Ford's car company, if you have emotions going on the line, that takes away from productivity. So there's just a lot of male emotions were just, I think, I mean, it's really hard. History is not conclusive, but there is enough evidence to convict that tears left the male world, especially in the Industrial Revolution. So what that did is it's caused a lot of conundrum, especially for boys and for men, because we've received the message that tears are not okay. And in this part of the province, it's especially not okay, because what do we hear? Cowboy up, man up, chin up. Like, whoa, that gets in the way of what we are really feeling and what the emotional response is for us, to the point where we almost have to learn again how to receive the notion of tears into our life in a way that's healthy and well.
So
we have a lot of work to do.
So here's the neat thing, is if you know you need a good cry, come to church.
Come and see us.
Come see us. You'll cry. That too. But you can also put on a sad movie and watch a sad, you don't have to cry about the thing you might be feeling sad about. Sometimes we don't even know why we're feeling sad. You can put on a sad movie and just let the tears come. And of course, we want to do it in a place where we feel safe, and we do hope this church feels safe. And I think the other thing tears do for us is help us keep soft hearts, so that we can show the compassion that Jesus asks us to show in following the way of Jesus. And so when we come to church, and the things we talk about and the way we support each other is about keeping our hearts soft. There is so much in our world that can make us defended and hard and jaded and just, you know, thinking everything's going wrong. And when we come to church, it's that little space where our hearts can soften and we can say, okay, God is with us, we're with each other, we can be compassionate, we can be loving, we can do what we need to do. And so, yes, come to church to cry. We hope we make you cry. At least, you know, a little tear in the... But at least what we hope together is that we create soft hearts so that we can show God's compassion in this world. Amen.
Amen.
And so we're going to sing a beautiful hymn.